Hello everyone and welcome back to the Mad and God podcast. I'm Max, your host, and I'm here joined like every week by the wonderful, the amazing, the one and only and stellar and here forever and ever and ever, Roxanne. Hi, Roxy.
Hey, hon, how are you?
I'm great, and you?
Wonderful. Wonderful. And a big shout out to everyone listening. Thanks all for tuning in. Go ahead, Max. What do we got for today?
So we're going to start with a follow-up from last week's discussion that we had about our knowing. And I thought we could discuss a little bit what is the knowing, give examples. How do we use it? And where we can see our knowing being applied. So using our intelligence. I'd say the real intelligence, meaning when you are not just taking what is the mainstream or what is the education, the school stuff as granted, and that you use your intelligence and you go into the knowing, and then you say, well, the mainstream is saying, there's a evolution, theory of evolution. And then you say, well, yeah, but the theory of evolution needs time. I know that time is not real. I mean, we create time, but we create time in the moment. So the theory of evolution needs time. So theory of evolution is a good story in what is the story we're telling. But now we can say the theory of evolution is only that, a good story to be used in the illusion. But there is no evolution as it is stated in a theory of evolution, right? So you see there is what is the mainstream, what is used very widely in the education, and then you have a knowing, and that is how you use your knowing, is that you are able to say this is still used. But I know that that is only that, a story, right? That going into, that's how you use it. That's how it is, right? It's like when you have anything that is presented, where like in the theory of evolution, time is the centerpiece of it, you instantly know what? You know that that is externalization. You know that that is using time, so bringing anyone that accept that belief out of it into something that is illusory. Because time, even though, again, we use it, we create it, it's real in the reality, because we use time, but we create time. But that's all there is about that. So when you have anything that is validated through time, you instantly know that's not the knowing. That's what is pretending, externalizing, that kind of things. And so you see it, the knowing, so the intelligence, when you apply it, that brings you into understanding, into internalizing, into validating you. You as a creative being, you as a being, a creator, that knows. where you do not need to have any external validation, because like for the theory of evolution, you will have how many people, how many teachers, how many scholars, how many people with so many papers saying, no, the theory of evolution is right. It's valid. It's real. We have so many species where you can see that it works, right? And then I have these things where I ask, well, then if that works, beside what is time, then let's talk about the polar bear. If I take the polar bear, in the theory of evolution, the polar bear is a bear that goes into a space where it's cold, very cold. So my question is, how could the bear or whatever species it is survive long enough in the cold so that you have the polar bear? Because you see, we are taking time, but in the theory of evolution, for a species to evolve into what is needed, right? It's a gene that is highlighting what is needed in a particular situation. Well, then how could that species, so I guess a bear, survive long enough in the cold to have that the polar bear finally being there and surviving? Because that can only happen through time in thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So I'm not understanding how that bear survived that long in those conditions. So you see, it's just, then here I'm just going a little bit farther into questioning, right? Bringing up questions, because what we tend to do is we go to school and they tell us, well, this is the science. This is how it is, right? And then what do? We just take it. Because how can you question the theory of evolution? You cannot question it. It's so wildly taken and expressed as the only way to see it, because if you don't see that that theory of evolution is how our species evolve, is that you go into creationism, right? The Bible thing. And if you do that, you are a piece of idiot, because everyone knows that it was not like that, right? So there is all this coming there where you, if you validate one thing, you're an idiot. If you validate the other thing, you're still an idiot, because, right, everyone is opposing or seeing things in a certain way. So then what do we do? Well, we just let go of that. We do not enter anymore into those things, and we say, well, I know that we create ourselves in the moment. Now is the knowing. So it's even not a question of time. It's not a question of polar bear or not, or any other species. It's just that I know that we create ourselves in the moment. So there is no theory of evolution that can stand that. Because yes, we evolve, but we evolve ourselves. And we do evolve ourselves not through time, we evolve ourselves because that's what we are. We are evolutionary beings through our experience, not through time. We do not need time to evolve. So you see, I'm applying here the knowing, the intelligence, the going behind what is education, what is, let's say, mainstream, and going into that knowing. When I do that, I'm going to say, I know. It's even not a question anymore. It's not something that we can debate because we know. What do you think, Roxy?
The knowing is an ability, and I'm talking subjectively from the human experience currently, because that's all we know. So I'm knowing the human, but the knowing gives me perspectives, relationship perspectives, which is the intelligence about the external ideas, about things. Like in your point, evolution. Evolution is occurring. It's a created reality. We have memory. We have time. It's a real. It's reality. But when it is the value of externalism that takes the knowing and changes it into a belief, and then that's where things get iffy. So what the knowing for me, when it's my truth, has provided me with a sense of truth, a sense of business that's undebatable. Someone had asked me, she goes, well, how do you know that's just not your subconscious when you channel? I was like, well, I've been doing it for 10 years. I can't prove it to you. Better question is, why do you need proof? That's the better question. See, the inherited knowing about whatever takes away the sway. I call it the sway. The polarized points of view about what you're doing. Or about what any reality that you interpret is doing. So it's like, why don't you look at your reasons why in your thing and notice that you don't have the intelligence about channeling. You have a belief about channeling. She doesn't have a knowing about it. She can't because she's doubting. So there's no room for the knowing. Everything in creation is real. Everything is possible. Everything is created. Everything is reality. But who's it truth to? That's why we emphasize so much about the internal truth. Because once you gain that knowing, and here's what is the conundrum about it, I guess, in speaking with humans about this. The conundrum is, it's all subjective. So no matter what I say, you can never feel the way I feel about it. But each and every one of you listening have part of your reality somewhere in your now. Now, when you have an interaction with such a thing, no one can tell you different. Because there's no holding it together or fighting for it. It's just a divine nonchalance about it. And it was like, you know, when she asked that question, I didn't go, oh, I have to prove it to her. I have doubts. I had nothing. My answer to her, so she'd get an answer, was, well, I've been doing it long enough. I know now. I had doubts when I channeled. Hell yeah, I did. Because I was evolving my doubts. Transcending my doubts. Things that kept me away from my joy. Because my doubt said you have to do it this way or that way, which is an externalized truth of processing. So to explain what's going on, we take science, which is an experience, but we externalize it as humans. We take that as valid fact. Doesn't mean it's invalid. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It means it's a perception creating in that individual bubble, that individual person, is the scientist behind it saying we evolved and we came from green goo, or we evolved out of monkeys, or whatever the fashionable idea is, the ever-changing history, or, you know, you can take the creation side of things. But when you're looking at those, then you know you're not in the knowing, because none of those need to be valued anymore. I don't give a flying fuck why we got here. I don't care how we got here. I'm here and now. If it was my passion to explore that, then I wouldn't be questioning how we got here as a debatable idea and trying to prove it to me. I would be exploring my passion about discovering the lineage of humanity. This Homo sapien frame is different than a lot of the Homo sapiens we've already found. What's that about? We explain it to evolution. It's only one species. It can't be another species. So all of these things are up in the air for debate until you have a knowing about them. I have a knowing about channeling. I'm an exceptional channel. I know. Yeah. So that's the self you have to find. And when you're working in realities, any everyday occurrences of reality where you find your belief systems challenging the internal self, the choice of the self, then you know that you're valuing an externalized idea of reality more than you're valuing yourself. And then it becomes a choice. See, we live in time. So immediately after an action happens, we start interpreting. So action, interpretation is the process with time. We take a reality that's now, we interpret it. Memory conjures up ideas of equations, blah, blah, blah. And we have an interpretational experience. Perfect. But in the now of the moment, like right now, there's already a message to you of your knowing. Most don't listen to that. It's like the passengers that got on flight 800. You know? Maybe there was a knowing, I don't want to get on this flight. Maybe they listened to it, maybe they didn't. You know? Maybe I should do this. Yeah. Maybe I should do that. There's a knowing. Okay, cryptocurrency's a big thing right now. Maybe there, in the moment before you invest, there's a knowing, whether you choose to do or not. It's not the outcome. It's never about the outcome. That's the ego fighting for its own identity. It's about the choice in the moment, the intelligence, and that intelligence is always available. Always available. It's just often overlooked. Because the human reacts mainly to the memory. When you get up the moment, how do you know who you are?
Oh.
How do you know the person next to you? It's all memory. Gosh.
Yeah.
It's all memory. And we validate the physical reality. We create our physical reality encompassed with a memory that gives us the experience of the space-time continuum. But that doesn't mean that's the permanency of creation. That doesn't mean anything except that's the interpretation. And as you investigate this life, this experience, you will see a lot more intelligence available to you if you're not using the standards of what society says on a daily basis. This is what life is like. And if you want different proof, all you got to do is look at your history and see that we've changed our fucking philosophies over and over again in the last decade, in the last, go back just 100 years, maybe back to the 1890s or something, and just look at the monumental cultural belief systems that we've changed that used to be standardized. And that says something. It doesn't make the world more deviled and horrible. It doesn't make the world evolutionary and better. It makes it available for you to explore intelligently within your own kingdom.
Yeah.
And then you get to find your truth. Go ahead, Max.
I can absolutely relate to what you are saying just now, right? So how do you know who you are, the person next to you? I had moments where I needed to clearly get to remember who I was, where I was, With whom? Because in that moment, I felt like, oh, I've lost track. I'm just here, right here, right now. And what is this? And I had to go and take the memory in order to be able to say, oh, right now, oh, all right, and I'm in Spain. And okay, this is what I'm doing. Oh, right, okay, got it. But I had just that moment where I had forgotten everything. And that happens. And I had the experience the other day. We went out to eat, and the table next to us, there were two guys that arrived just some minutes after us, and they started talking. And one said to the other that it was impossible for him to know how things taste for anyone else, because he just could know what things taste for him, but that's all that he can know. Whereas the other guy answered, but that is bullshit, because we're genetics, we are all human beings, and when we eat anything or drink anything, well, that anything is the same for everyone else, for everyone, so it must taste the same for everyone. and so I said, okay, interesting. So they went into discussing that, and I just forgot about that. And 1 hour later, I heard that they were still debating over their lunch about that. And they couldn't come to any conclusion, because how can you come to any conclusion where you are opposing point of views? But you see, that thing, it was two people opposing their belief systems and in a debate. But if you let go of the debate, they both were expressing what they believe, what they are, right? And from what was happening there, I realized, well, they are just there, and this is what they are, right? That this is what they get, because they cannot really see any other point of view. So it was, and so they were using some sort of, well, knowing, or some sort of, this is what I've been presented with, so this is how things must be. And I felt like, yeah, this is how things must be, because if things are not like that, then all of my reality crumbles. Because well, how can we be all different? We must all be the same. And so, expressing the same, tasting the same, having everything the same. Say, well, that's very interesting as a experience of seeing how human beings can take their belief system and use them, right? Creating an ego of wall, preventing any other idea coming in. No. It must taste the same. That it must. Don't say anything else. It must. So now, this is what it is, right? Then to have, then suddenly you let go, right? You change that, and you go into a knowing. And that is something where you can say, well, you know, we are all different. It doesn't need to be a great revolution just to say, well, we are all different. And that's fine. It doesn't change a bit reality. But that takes what you were saying, what you were saying, right? Trust. Trust is really a huge, big key word. Trust. Trust. Can you trust? Can I trust? As we were talking last, I think it was last week when we were doing the podcast, just before, I felt the presence of beings. I knew that, oh, connection beings, and I could feel them. How do I know that I'm really connecting with beings and that, right, and that I'm not creating them feeling and that I'm not delusional, that I cannot see those beings and still I can feel the presence? Can I prove it? No, I cannot prove it. How could I prove it? Still, I'm feeling the presence. So, do I trust? Do I trust me into knowing there are beings that I'm connected with right here, right now? Well, I will never be able to prove that. But do I need? No. Why? Because I trust my feeling. Because now that trust is a knowing. And why is it a knowing? Because I've evolved from the beginning when I started working with you, Roxy, and where you were asking me, oh, what is the name of that being? And I was completely lost because I couldn't find the name because I was scared of, I was lost, completely lost, right? A name? She wants me to say the name of a being? And it took some time for me to be able to say a name. Coming from there to now, where, well, now I'm not questioning, am I able to bring out the name? Am I connecting with a being? Am I channeling? Am I whatever? I'm not questioning it. I know it's happening. But again, if anyone asks for proofs, I have the proofs. And that's the end of it.
Right. You know, proof, if you're trying to prove with people, that only validates your not knowing. Always remember that. If you need to prove to another what your truth is, like the argument that went on, they were trying to prove their truth to the other person. Why? Well, because
they need validation.
They need validation. They need that outside acceptance, which only exposes to you the externalism of your life. You know, it's like, okay, I have to rely on another person's approval for me to be okay with myself. So that acceptance makes me a better person. How we tragically and exquisitely use each other for our own domination and subservient ideas of polarity. It's a great experience to be on the polarized side, but intelligence says different. It says, don't fight for yourself. You're enough. It says you've always been here. It says all of your fears live in your memory. Intelligence says you don't need external approval.
You're enough.
Intelligence says your truth is your truth and only your truth. Intelligence says everyone has their own truth because everyone has their own point of view. See, intelligence says a lot if you pay attention. It tells you how everything works. And what's being represented is represented every day. More so in the idea of nature than humanity. But, you know, it all represents.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing to work yourself into the knowing of things. I used a very, very vital tool. Trust, as you mentioned, is one of them. But humility, to be humble to my own ego that I'm not good enough, that I have failed. I'm not a good reader. I'm not this. I'm not a good writer. I'm not all any of these things that I ventured into during my schooling years, during my lifetime. I'm not this guy. I'm not a good one. So I really wanted to accept that I wasn't those things. You know, I instead of fighting for them, I accepted, surrendered, and accept that I am those things. And then I saw the intelligence behind it. I didn't need to be those things.
Yeah.
Because my life, those weren't my focuses of life. See, that's what humanity says you should be good at. The things that we mainly fail at.
I fully understand that. Yeah. Yes. And for me, that was the need of being excellent, of being the best, or right, of really be excellent in those things, in writing, reading, in all of those things, and then knowing, oh, I cannot be that. So then disregarding those things because, well, I cannot excel. Then why would I bother? So letting go.
I looked at things outside of me as what I was supposed to be, and I would cover that and do my best to try to be that. And sometimes when I did achieve that, I was still never enough.
Yeah.
You know? So be this, I became it, and now say, okay, that's not enough now because you're left empty. You got to go and be something else. Be better at it, mm-hmm. whatever. So it's this constant idea of externalism chasing your tail, trying to achieve a state of being that is already, but it's covered up by the lack of humanity and lack of self knowing your own worth. So you know that idea of accepting what society says as the truth was the first key. It was like I was watching a YouTube video and I was like, saw these great people doing great things. And then I would place myself in the scenario of being that person. And then whatever that outcome, my mind would play out. And then I would feel that and then realize it's not me. And then I watched the same video and then I realized since it's not me and I'm okay as me, then I got to experience the video as entertaining. Then it was like, wow, this is really good. This is a great story. Because I wasn't looking to match it or become it in envy, in externalism. I was looking at it as an attraction, an experience that is awesome because I wasn't trying to be it. I was letting that be that because that's the greatness. Why? How did that feeling come about? How did that relation get birthed? Because I'm enough. I don't need to be the outside. See, if I'm going to pursue myself as a channeler, a teacher, and a writer, then my law of attraction, my own internal law of attraction will take care of those things. And if I know myself as a great channeler, I will continue reasons or opportunities to channel. I teach this, awakening, light bearer awakening ideas, ascension ideas. So I crafted my skill. The things that came along during this 10-year journey were making me a better teacher, getting better at it. And now I started writing, and I just finished my first novel, and I'm editing it right now. That book right there is a passionate, that's a knowing. See, I'm not externalizing and try to become the next Frank Herbert or Stephen King. I'm not externalizing the idea. I'm internalizing. That's why it feels so good to do it, and that's why I have the intelligence to do it. The story is fantastic. Yeah. I'm taking the evolution of editing it myself. I've got the programming out there as humanity to help me edit it now. The resources of what we used before are gone, because we are, as a evolutionary space-time continuum species, evolving, but not as the externalism of causality and stuff like that, as Max mentioned earlier, but the internal ideas that allow me opportunity. Good Lord, I was pre-computer. I'm 55, but we didn't have computers. We didn't have internet. We don't have, you're in Spain, I'm in Texas, and we're talking instantly. These are phenomenal ideas of technology and knowings coming to the intelligence for humanity to use. And it's constantly providing the tools for each individual participating in co-created incarnation called humanity, providing the tools of self-evolution, of self-discovery, self-belief into self-knowing, changing those relationships. So it's evident around us that the intelligence is not hard at work, easily at work. It's because it's always there, it's always available, and no one's in charge of it, because it is us by nature, intelligence, you know. So I think that's really awesome that I have these things available to me to explore my reality. And I get that. Well, how do you know you want to be a writer? Someone had asked me, why did you decide to write the book? I didn't decide to write the book. See, that's an external reason of why I couldn't help but to do it. It came into me, that idea took it, and I was like, yeah, I know this is going to be awesome. I know I want to do this because it's a now knowing. And then you're on like Donkey Kong. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, but right, I was just thinking, why would you need to justify the fact that you are writing? I'm just writing. Why did I start? Where did I start? Where did it come from? Why will I question it? I'm just writing, right?
Well, you would do it if you had doubt.
yeah, absolutely. That's the point, right? But you. And I was thinking where you said, right, becoming a Frank Herbert or whatever, and that if you take that, then well, no one writes ever, because you will never ever be able to project yourself into being as good as. But right, that's the thing. Do you need to be as good as? I mean, how could Frank Herbert be the Frank Herbert that we know now until he wrote? Couldn't know it before.
We would have never known he's one of the greatest authors out there. Yeah. Just really, just the grasp of the language, the way he puts it together. We would have never known him if he doubted himself. He took his knowing and expressed it. He didn't care. He couldn't help himself. Exactly. It's like breathing. I don't know if I can breathe. We don't doubt our breathing. We know our breathing. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, right. And it's just that expression of lack, that think of needing to figure it out before you even begin to have everything already done, so that you, right, you know, you act in the moment. You cannot you cannot already have it. We're in a human reality. There's time, and that's where time comes in, is that you have to go through the process, through the creational process, the long way, because it's in time. So obviously in the now, it's already done. Yeah, we know that it's already done in the now, but you're not in that now. So in order to be in that now, you have to go the long way to get there. That's how things are done here. So,
and that's a choice. These are choices. Once you have the intelligence about them, then the long way becomes a choice. Trick is, do you trust that you can go a different way? Or do you need to go with what is spoken on the outside as standard?
Good question. So, then
do it. I broke your conversation, right? Sorry.
No, it's just right. It's do it. Don't question it. It's that's the point. Don't question your actions. Don't question what you know, your knowing. Because when you start questioning it, you're done. it's where you get into the lack. It's not that it's wrong. It's simply that you're bringing yourself in a different vibration, so in a different direction, where you are quite opposing. So you get into fighting what you were saying before, right? When we say what can we talk about? But you're fighting for your for being mediocre. You're fighting to keep yourself out of it, for your lack, right? Fighting for those things because it's too good to simply be able to be, to know, to express. It's too good. So I'm questioning it. So I'm fighting it. I'm opposing it. And then, you're going in a completely different direction. Not a wrong direction, a different one.
A different one. Never a wrong direction, just a different. That's how you create your own reality. That's how everyone creates their own experience here as the human incarnation.
Yeah.
Now that is intelligence. When you start to see that, then things can change.
Yeah. And I mean, I've realized, right? I've seen myself doing that. And so the opposition that I was creating for myself, and then the realization, wait a second, if I just stop opposing, if I just stop building up all this shit in my head, if I stop doing that, am I stop reality? Am I stopping it? Am I stopping, preventing anything from happening? If I just stop all of that and I just allow creation to happen, what is going to happen? Well, creation, life, experience.
Well, it's always happening. Life.
Yeah.
The eternal life. That's what's going to happen because that's what's always happening. What's going to happen is an experience of always happening. That's your mind selling you something that's going to happen. See, when you have an intelligence, you know that the idea of the future is an experience of the now. The idea of the past is the experience of the now. Now, that might be a concept right now, but when it becomes a knowing, your whole life changes because then you don't value these ideas of creating things that are not current. You're focused on your current. You get better at life naturally because you're in the moment.
Yes. We are here in Spain for 2 days, right? We're going back on Friday. So with my husband, we were discussing it or talking about that, and he was saying, "Yeah, you see, the first week is great. But it's the second week when you really start really being into the vocation." But he was saying, well, the second week I start being anxious and quite angry at the fact that actually it's going too fast and we're going back home. And as you were saying that, I realized that I was none of that. I was not feeling anxious of being the first or second or whatever week of moment in the vocation. I just was now. I'm just now. So I'm not projecting into Friday, we're flying back. Because Friday is Friday and it's not now. And so I could feel, I could feel, well, you see, this is when you stop projecting yourself or feeling the time passing, and you just accept now, you're just in the now. Then you accept now, you do not need to be anxious now for something that is not happening now. How different it is than the self that is on Sunday night and Sunday afternoon or whatever, and is already panicking for the Monday. This start of the week. Tomorrow back to work. Fuck, starting a new week.
That's tough.
I'm now. Yeah? It's tough.
It's easy to see. It's tough to transcend. It's tough to live now because the entire society has, and I'm talking human collective, has taught us time in my journey. In the commonality of humanity currently, we live for time. Our society has taught us to fear the future. And the political things tell you everything that's wrong with the other party and what they're going to do to us. Oh, yeah. But none of that's ever happened. Everyone's just experiencing. There's never a loss. There's only an experience. So when you start seeing the intelligence about that, you can transcend those values by being and accepting yourself as those things, of course, as those truths, and then not acting on them, which takes courage and trust.
But that is exactly what we build up. I mean, we have to trust. Channelers have to trust somehow themselves. And that it was my revelation this week, is that we discussed this last times and I was there, what am I doing, fucking up, blah, blah, blah. And then they said, I had this thing coming in saying, well, actually, do you think that you are not trusting? You left your job. You're not looking really for a new one. You are just being whatever you are in the moment. You're doing what you're doing right now. And you are just being there. Where is that you are not trusting? So you have trust. You're just not admitting or seeing it. And when you go into your fears, you're not certainly seeing your trust, but you're trusting.
Yeah.
So we're bringing these things out.
Yeah.
We are doing it, except when we are just not wanting, or we choose to have an experience and not perceiving those things. But it's there.
Well, you don't consciously choose. Sometimes they're very obscure. People don't choose to keep themselves limited, really. Well, what they do is fight for their limitations because they don't know anything different. And that's why I think humility is an absolute vital approach to this evolution. Is accept that you don't know these things, accept that you're not sure, and accept you're not that there's total things. It's like I recognize that my belief of anger towards another person or envy towards another person was the lack of myself. So I had to do that to see the intelligence behind it. Right?
Yeah.
And then we have choice. But if I don't know, then I don't have a choice, of course. Like the two people arguing. They weren't interested in humility. They were only interested in the truth. The truth that the other person would see their way. It didn't matter what it was about. It could have been about, you know, whether who makes the best chocolate.
Swiss.
Yeah, of course.
Not Belgian, Swiss.
Not Belgian, Swiss. You know, so there's that idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's always available if you're playing in the world of beliefs. And that's what we'll work on with vibrational tacticians, you know, which we're going to start engaging into that work, is to getting to know the intelligence tonight. Of the self, you know.
Yeah. And we are. And again, it's our perception or the way, again, when we go into taking ourselves out of our being and anxious, fear, externalization, all those things kicks in, which happens. It's right. But we always forget one thing, is that we are not yet able to maintain our vibration. So we are going up, down, up, down. It's we're not stable. It's not something that we are yet able to have, that stability where you can just go into being in that state where you are in a I am and stay in there. You kick yourself out of there because, well, that's the thing. That's how we are right now. We just go in and out, in and out, vibrate, but it's not.
But why do we go out? Why do we go out?
Yeah, we.
I know, you're pointing to your head. Why do we go out? Because the human that you discover.
Yeah.
But that doesn't because mean we're victim good. To those.
No. Right?
No. It's that's when you return to the knowing of yourself, you're vibrating at a different frequency as a standard. That's the persona. And then we come across realities of turbulence because we're on a smooth flight, and our turbulence is the recognition of our belief systems that keep us limited, our points of view that squints us. And then we can have a choice about it. But you got to gain the idea of I am is enough. You got to start somewhere foundationally, that your isness, and this is an enlightenment and not a pursuit of gain or winning. You know, it's recognition. So, you know, we go in and out, but it's not because of reason of fault. I go in and out because I am exploring my limitations. I'm enlightening my reality. So when I get a vibrational resistance to reality, then I realize I'm enlightening, I'm brightening up my limitations, so I can see them and accept them and do the work for them. So yeah, it's quite exception.
Absolutely. And that's how we do it, right? Recognizing ourselves. How could we otherwise? But the thing is also that once that you know the way, then that vibration is known to you. So you know the way.
You know why?
You don't have to discover. Yeah. Yeah.
Your way.
Yeah.
You grow in your own way. Because we can't repeat ourselves because we're all individual perspectives. So there's no commonality in frequency. The idea of we have the same point of view. I can never taste your Sprite, and you can never taste my Sprite.
Ever. Though we come from the same factory.
You know, yeah. And yeah. It can taste similar. People can recognize in the moment, but I'll never know what yours
is. Yeah, but it's still your perspective, right?
Always.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's it. But, that was good. Anything else about that? What do you think?
No, I think that we express the essential about that, right?
Yeah, the essential of knowing. Yeah. See, my knowing attracts interactive physical realities that allow me to express my internal self that doesn't need an external validation. It's like the mad scientist just is in his laboratory and he'll stay there. Well, just like the movie Flubber. The old movie Flubber. And I think it was in the Eddie Murphy remake of Flubber 2. He always had to tie something around his finger to remember because he's so involved in his work. You know, he had someone come in. He missed his own wedding. You know, it's like, oh, my God, I'm supposed to get married today. You know, so that idea is like you're so engaged in reality. You know, it's like I'm editing my book and I'm going through editing it. And the next thing I know, I look up, it's 11 o'clock and I sat down at 7 o'clock. I'm just engaged in it. You know, it's a now passion. There's no time. Anyways, I think it's good stuff. Find your knowing.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Find it, express it, and be fine, right? And be humble about it, and be you about it, right? Your knowing is your knowing, it's not my knowing, and you will express it your way. It's your way. It's not my way. It's not anyone else's way. And there you go.
And there you go.
Just be in it.
So, all right, my friends. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. This is Roxanne. I am at odysseyofascension.com and Odyssey of Ascension on YouTube. And my fellow constituent, Max. Where can they find you, Max?
Breakfastwithmax.com and on YouTube, Breakfast with Max. And well, everything is there. And something that I forgot always to say, you can send us questions or messages at tomadandgodpodcast@gmail.com. It's in the description anyway, but it's good to mention.
Yes.
And so thank you. Yes. Thank you for joining and us and spending some time with us and listening. And thank you to you, Roxy. Amazing. You're as welcome. Always.
And we'll see you in tonight's class.
Oh, yes. And next week for the podcast.
Yeah, we'll see you next week on the podcast.
Thank you. Take care. Everyone. Bye-bye.